give this chavura. I was very excited about this topic, and I was excited to share it with some great scholars like yourselves. So I guess before we get to the question that many of the achronim are dealing with, which is tzaras b'zman hazeh, and why are we not knowing tzaras b'zman hazeh, just to make sure everyone's up to speed, if you've done Shnayim Mikra this week, hopefully you're already holding a little bit more in the topic. But just to give a very, very quick hakadama to tzaras in general. Of course, if you want to look at tzaras in Torah Shvichsav, it's in this week's parsha, in Prokham Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, Yud Gimel being the end of Tazria, Yud Dalet being the beginning of Mitzorah. In Torah Shval Peh, if you want to look into this topic, of course, we're zochet to have an entire Masechta called Maseches Nagaim, which can be found in Taros. It's the third of the 12 Masechtos in Taros, 14 chapters dedicated to this very, very complex topic. I'll just say, parenthetically, I once found a copy of a Kahati in Shemus of Maseches Nagaim, and I saw that the person on the first Mishnah had like the whole thing marked up, and that's like where they gave up, I think, because there were no notes after that. So it's a difficult Masechta. It's a difficult Masechta, but Baruch Hashem, we do have a full Masechta dedicated to this topic. Just by, again, by way of Akdama, and it could be that everyone's holding in this week's Parsha already, and it's superfluous, but just to make sure that we know the basics. The Pasuk says in source number one, this week's parsha, Adam kiyeh b'or b'saro se'is o sapachas o vaheres. So if I didn't know any better and I was reading the Chumash, I would think there are basically three categories of saras. There's something called se'is, there's something called sapachas, there's something called vaheres. However, if we look in the first Mishnah in Nagam, in source number two, when it delineates the categories of Nagam, the Mishnah tells us, the opening Mishnah in Nagam, Maros Nagam Shnayim Shein Arba. I had a familiar line to us. There's other Mishnayos, Yitzios HaShabbos. There's two witches for. By Shavuos, there's two witches for. By Nagam, two witches for. What does that mean? Baheres Oza Kashelek. Baheres is white like snow. Shniyala, and its subcategory is Kesid HaHecha. Like the plaster, or the lime, of the walls of the Hechel, of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, then it quotes the opinion of Rabbi Meir that Se'es is Kekrum HaBeitza Shniyala Ketzemer Lavan. We don't pass in that way, so we'll gloss over Rabbi Meir for a moment. V'chachamim Omrim Se'es Ketzemer Lavan Shniyala Kekrum Beitza. So what you have here is basically two primary categories of Tzaras, Baheres and Se'es. Baheres being white like snow. Se'es being white like clean wool from a sheep. And they each have a subcategory. The subcategory of Baheres is a white that's not as bright, like the plaster of the Heichel. And Se'es has a subcategory, Shniyala Kekrum Beitza, like the membrane that surrounds an egg. So where'd Sapachas go? What happened to Sapachas? So obviously Sapachas is a code word for the subcategory that comes with Se'es and Baheres. What we have to obviously look into, not for now, is why does the Torah arrange it the way that it does? Se'es, O Sapachas, O Baheres is a very strange order, given the fact that, again, Se'es is, first of all, not as bright as Baheres, and Sapachas is really not its own category, but a subcategory. But be it as it may, there are two major categories of Tzaras, as the Mishnah tells us, and two subcategories. The Rambam puts it very nicely and neatly in order for us at the beginning of Hilchos Tumas Tzaras, in source number 3, Dalet Maros Yesh B'Tzaras, or Habasar. There are four types of colors of Tzaras when it comes to Tzaras of the flesh. Lovan Oz B'Yoser, She'ein L'mal V'Menu. The brightest of whites is what we call, it's white like snow, and that is called Baheres. A whiteness that is slightly less bright, it's a bit duller than that. Shinira Katsemar Naki Shal Keves Ben Yomo, like the fresh wool of a sheep, like a newborn animal. Hu Nikra Seis. So that's the second brightest white. And each one has a subcategory. Kesid HaHechel, which we said is the subcategory of Baheres, the Sapachas of Baheres, is the third brightest, right? Or I guess the darkest at this point. And lastly, the subcategory of Se'es, which is Kekrum HaBeitza, like the membrane around the egg, that is the least bright of the four colors. Hinei Lamadta sums up the Rambam, Shamarashu Kesid HaHechel Hu Sapachas HaBaheres, Vamarashu Kekrum HaBeitza Hi Sapachas HaSe'es, She'ein Lashon Sapachas Ela Tfela. Sapachas is not an independent category, but Sapachas means that which is secondary. And I'm sure some of us remember from Tanakh, when Eli HaKohen is told that you're basically finished, and your family is finished, and your children are going to go around and say, Safcheini na alachas, let me attach myself. Sapachas is a lashon of what? That which is tafel, that which looks to attach itself to that which is ikr. Okay, so really there's two major categories of saras, Baheres being the strongest, Se'es being the second strongest, and each one has a subcategory. What happens the next 40 psukim in Perek Yud Gimel and Tazria, this week's parasha? So it goes through all sorts, very complicated, outlining the different appearances of saras on a person. It's on your skin, it's in your hair, you have an inflammation, you have a burn, it's on the back of your neck, it's on your head, it's on your face, it's spreading, it's not spreading. Very, very complicated. And finally, at the end of that series of psukim in source number 4, what happens if, in fact, we determine that a person has saras? So he does things which are very similar to nihuge avelus. Vatzaru asher bo anega begodav yihu farumim, virosho yiyah farua. He tears his clothing, he walks around with torn garments, he allows his hair to be unshorn, to grow wildly. Vatzafam yateh, he wraps himself a tifas harosh, like a mourner traditionally did. Vitame tame yikra, he walks around telling people, I'm tame, stay away from me. Right, very, very tragic. Very strange. Again, very much like a mourner. And then it actually points out that he is a mourner. Who is he mourning? He's mourning himself. He's mourning himself. He's mourning the fact that how could I have come to do such a lowly avera that a Kadosh Baruch Hu needed to punish me in this way with saras. So he walks around, tummy tummy yikra. Rashi says, I'm chumish, tummy tummy yikra. Keep away from me because of my tumba. If you look at the Gemara in Moed Katan, Daf Heyam at Aleph, the Gemara says that in fact he's also asking people to look out for him, to daven for him. He's saying, look how tummy I am. Please daven for me. I feel isolated. Badar yeshiv, michutz l'machana. Very, very tragic. And that pretty much wraps up the introduction to Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Gimel concludes with a brief discussion of Nigei Begadim. Right? Because again, when we talk about Saras, we talk about there's Nigam that appear on a person, there's Nigam that appear on a person's clothing, and then there's Nigam that appears on one's home. So the end of Perek Yud Gimel, the end of Parshas Tazria, is a discussion of Nigei Begadim, and again, it has many, many rules. How does Parshas Metzora begin? Parshas Metzora begins Perek Yud Dalet, source number 5. Yedaber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Zos Tia Torah Hametzora Biyom Tara Sov Huva Ela Kohen. Rashi says Biyom Dafka, by day the Tara Parshas begins. If the Kohen determines that this person is eligible to undergo the Tara process of the Metzora, so he begins the Tara process. The Tara process has 3 stages to it. What's the first stage? First stage, very strange, very interesting. Comes to the Kohen. The Kohen kind of meets him on the border. Huvel HaKohen, he's, let's say, very far out. Rishonim say, you bring him a bit closer so he can have this interaction with the Kohen. And he takes 2 birds. Now, these 2 birds can be, right, any bird, any kosher bird, any kosher healthy bird. It does not have to be the type of birds we would demand for a carbon because it's not a carbon. We'll see that Saras, in theory, applies even in Chutz La'aretz. Saras does not take place only in the Beis HaMikdash. This is not a carbon. So he takes these 2 birds, and what does he do with these 2 birds? He takes a klicheres, and he takes some mayim chayim, he takes etz erez, shnisolas, he takes azov, he takes a piece of etz erez, some cedar wood, right? Shnisolas, some crimson wool, some thread, azov, he takes hyssop, and what does he do? Now he's got all of his tools, he's got the 2 birds, he's got the mayim chayim in a klicheres, in a new klicheres, and he takes all these other things, the etz erez, the shnisolas, the azov, what does he do? He shechs one of the birds over the klicheres, over the mayim, so that the blood will appear on the water. Then he takes the live bird, and he takes the etzeres, the shisolas, and the ezov. He dips everything into the bloody water mixture. He sprinkles it 7 times on this person who has saras. He sets the live bird free. And at this point, the person who had saras is eligible. He's completed stage 1. He's eligible to come back into the camp. At this point, there's an Isser Tashmish Hamita, which is something that the Gemara Moed Katan discusses. When he's outside the camp, he was still permitted to his wife. Now when he comes back in, the Torah says that what? He dwells outside of his tent. Rashi says that means there's an Isser Tashmish Hamita as he's undergoing this process. That's stage 1, which allows him to come back into the camp. What's stage 2? What's the end of stage 1? We skipped a step. The end of stage 1, of course, is that what? He goes to mikvah, he immerses his begadim as well, and he shaves all of the hair of his body. That's stage 1. A week later, now he's back in the camp, he's shaved again entirely. The Rambam writes in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph, that all hair that appears externally has to be removed. Okay, so that doesn't necessarily mean that if he has some hair growing inside of his nose that it needs to be removed, but any hair that is apparent, I'm actually learning Masechta Sota now, it discusses this, what hair is considered eligible or necessary to be removed, and he immerses himself again, and he immerses his clothing again, and that's stage 2. What's stage 3? Stage 3 are the karbanos that the Mesorah needs to bring. And on the 8th day, he brings those karbanos. 3 karbanos, okay, he brings 2 kvasim tamimim, and he brings a kivsa bas shenasa tamima. 2 lambs, and 1 female ewe, E-W-E. What does he do with them? He also brings, obviously, the soles that accompanies the karbanos, which are mixed with oil, and an additional lug of oil. He takes one of the lambs, as an asham.
with the oil. The Kohen waves it around, which means the Kohen has to be pretty strong. He has to pick up the lamb, picks up the oil, he waves it around. He shechs it, he does the whole strange thing of putting the blood on his ear, and on his thumb, and on his big toe. And then the other two animals are going to be used for achatas and an ola. So in total he brings an asham, achatas, and an ola. What if he's poor? What if he can't afford three large animals? So the asham still has to be an animal. But he can replace the chatas and the ola with birds. And since these birds are karbanos, they have to be birds that are eligible for karbanos, namely Bnei Yonah or Torin. Okay, and that's Perek Yudalid, the entire Torah process. And how does Perek Yudalid end? And it's strange that it's set apart. It goes back now to the topic of Nigam. Which category? We already discussed Nigei Adam, Nigei Begadim, that's all in the end of Tazria. And it goes back now and discusses Nigei Batim. Right, the laws of finding Tzaras on one's home, which is a big machlokas rishonim, is that in fact a punishment, or that's a bracha? You crack open the walls of your home, you find all these treasures. So is that a good thing or a bad thing if you get Nigam on the walls of your house? And that's something the rishonim discuss. Okay, so this is just, again, by way of akdama, so we have some of the basics of the process of Tuma and Tara. Of course, we have to point out the famous comment of Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, in source number 6, that Tzaras is not leprosy. Right? Leprosy would be a very bad translation of Tzaras. Leprosy is a natural illness. Writes of Hirsch in Parshas Tazria, Nira Behechlet, it seems very clear to me, Shenega Einenu Mitzayein Matzav Ragil Shel Machala, do not view this nega being described by the Torah as a regular natural illness. Ela nega hu machla haba kitotza migzer elokis miuchedes. This is a godly form of affliction. It refers, says, kach dira mirov mekomos. When you encounter this word nega in Tanakh, it refers more often than not, says Rafersh, to some type of spiritual affliction, not merely something that was totally natural. Rafersh continues, misha nifka al yedei nega, a person who is afflicted with what we would label as a nega, hu nagua. Refers as a solution of what? Of being touched. Etzbe Elokim Nagavo. That he's been touched by God. He's been touched by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, has reached out from the heavens and has afflicted this person as an indication of his overall spiritual status. The Kuzari writes, very interestingly, in Maimer Sheni, that in general, and it's something that we have to think about, the physical well-being of a person, the beauty of his possessions, is often, should be understood as a reflection of his spiritual standing. So what does that mean? That means if you were born, you were a cute kid, and now you're a handsome young man, so that means that you're a spiritual giant, and if you're not as physically attractive, that means you have to make more of a cheshbon and nefesh. What exactly does that mean? But the Chavar responds to the king of the Khazars, and the Kuzari, Maimer Sheni, O Samach Beis, source 7, Amar HaChavar, Kvar Marti Lecha, because the Khazar king was hawking him. You know, what's with all these strange things, Tzaras, and Zav, and Zava, and all these, Tuma, and Tara? So he says, yes, there is a spiritual reality. When a Jew acts the way he's supposed to act, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses him with beauty of the guf, beauty of his possessions, beauty of his home, but when Jews don't act the way they're supposed to act, there is a physical expression of that spiritual illness that takes place in this world. So again, to think of Tzaras the way the Rav Hirsch is telling us, the way the Kuzari is telling us, it is not at all a natural disease. It is something of a very, very lofty spiritual nature. Yeah?
Is there anyone in Taimus that talks about how the uglier you are, the more Torah you retain?
The more Torah you retain, right. Yeah, the Gemara does have such a statement like that. And that Gemara also has that same statement where someone was ugly and he says, go to the one who created me and complain to him. Yeah, you can definitely argue otherwise. There were Tanaim who were very beautiful, and there's Tanaim who Chazal point out were not so beautiful. You know, so that's an interesting question, right. The Gemara does say that we have a concern that a person who's handsome is going to be more caught up in his good looks. At the same time, you have the Gemara in Yoma that says that nothing should really stop you from reaching spiritual greatness, right? Yosef HaTzadik is the one who's going to come. The Gemara is Yoma Lamed Hay. That Yosef HaTzadik is going to come, and anyone who says, I was too handsome, I was too good looking to become a big tzadik, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to call out Yosef HaTzadik and say, Yosef was very handsome, and it didn't stop him from being great. So again, whether or not my physical looks are going to help me spiritually or not, or it's a reflection, but again, it's an interesting ha'ara from the Kuzari. Okay, also to point out, why does a person get tzaras? We're saying it's a spiritual affliction. So why does a person get tzaras? So, from our education of our youth, our brain automatically says, Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is a correct answer, and it's the first example that Chazal give in the Gemara in Erech and Tezayin Amad Aleph of the 7 things for which a person gets tzaras. There are other Midrashei Chazal that might add even additional things. But the Gemara in Erech, in source number 8, Amar Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar of Yochanan, Al Shiva Dvarim Negaim Ban, Al Lashon Hara, Al Shrichas Damim, Al Shvuas Shav, Gilei Arayos, Gasas Ruach, Abal Gaiva, Getzaras, Al Gezel, Val Tsaras Ayin being one who's stingy. So these are all very bad things. And yet, at the same time, like we saw, there's something very spiritual about Tsaras. You have to be a Bal Madrega to even be roy for tzaras. So on the one hand, you say, shvichas damim, terrible things, gilei arayos, right? Now again, we're probably all nichshol on some small level, at least an avak, a bazrayu, all these things, if we're not nichshol in the thing itself, right? But this is a pretty heavy list of bad things. And yet, when a person is zoche, and I use that word carefully, zoche to tzaras, it's a sign that what? Like our first said, that he's been nagua, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has touched him. That's spelled kim nagavo. And therefore, a person has to be a certain Baal Madrega. But as we transition now to our question, Tzaras Bezman Hazeh, right, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we even roy for Tzaras? Are we on a level that we deserve to get Tzaras? It sounds like a funny thing to say, if you're getting Tzaras for Shvichas Damim and Gezel and Gilei Arayos. But a person has to be a certain Madrega to be roy for Tzaras. And this is an idea that the Ramban made very famous. And the Sfarim and the Alshich echo a similar idea. We'll read the Ramban together in source number 9. Ze'einenu b'teva klal. The Ramban says, as far as you read about tzaras, strange colors appearing on your begadim, and you start to wonder, what is this? The Ramban says, this is not a natural thing at all. V'chein negaybatim. Right? This is also completely unnatural, irregular. Aval behayos Yisrael shleimim la'ashem. Yeruach Hashem aleim tamid. When a Jew acts the way he's supposed to act, when a Jew is connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he feels that he's in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Mida Keneged Mida, right? The Mishnah in Maseches Sota. V'derech Shad Moded Kach Moded in Lo. Meaning, if you put yourself in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, if that's where you choose to live, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu will interact with you. People complain, no, I daven all the time, and Hashem doesn't respond to me. Okay, maybe we don't talk. Maybe we're not living in the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu enough. And if I was more connected to Hashem, then I would get more of a response. Then there would be a reality. So says the Ramban that a Kadosh Baruch Hu communicates with me. So the Ramban says, when the Jewish people are shleimim, when we act in the way that we should, lahami gufam ubigdeim bateim b'maritov, a Kadosh Baruch Hu responds in turn. And therefore, at a moment where I start to walk away from Hashem, because I spend most of my time shifti b'veis Hashem, I'm dwelling in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I start to walk away and Hashem says, wait a minute, you're my good friend, where are you going? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you a sign that something's not right here. Your behavior, your chayt, your avon, whatever it is that you're doing that Hashem is not pleased with, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what's happening here? Yishavei kiur b'psaro b'bigdo b'veiso. Laharos ki Hashem sar me'alav. Hashem said, you're walking away from me, then I'm going to walk away from you. And you start to feel it in a very real, tangible way. In a physical way that your eyes can see. But again, Bizman HaZeh, and many point to this Ramban, even though he doesn't say it beferish, Svarno says it even more beferish, Bizman HaZeh, we're not Zochet Tzaras. We're not Bali Madrega, that we're even worthy. We do so many Averos, perhaps, that it's not even worth HaKadosh Baruch Hu's time to interact with us in this very direct way. But again, we have to look at Tzaras as almost a bracha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in telling us where we're holding in our Avodas Hashem. And the Sfarno writes, we strive to be the ideal people that we're meant to be, a light unto the nations. And Sfarno writes at the end of source number 10, two lines from the end, V'kasher lo alu ha-doros l'madrega ru'uya l'chem l'zo, when we weren't worthy of this Mida of Rachmanus, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to talk to you, that Hashem wants to send you a sign, an update, or a port card. Where are you holding in your avoda? When we're no longer worthy of such a thing, Ein zichron l'rishonim, shenimto l'olam nigei batim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes this thing entirely, to such a degree, at she'aru k'tzasam zal shelo hayu mi'olam, that some people could even say that nigei batim never even happened. And certainly those who are outside the camp of Torah will question whether or not Tzaras was a real thing. Right? Maybe it's just some type of skin disease, they didn't understand what it was once upon a time. So again, it's a certain madrega that's required of a person in order to be roy lakach, to receive tzaras. Okay, so now we're ready to ask the question that we really came together to discuss, and that is the question of, so why are we not knowing tzaras bezman hazeh? So you'll say that's a very strange question. We're not knowing tzaras bezman hazeh, dinei tzaras bezman hazeh, because no one has tzaras bezman hazeh. That's how I always understood from the Ramban and the Sfarno, that we don't get tzaras. But let's say for some reason you get some strange thing on your arm, and you immediately go to a dermatologist, you go to a skin doctor. Maybe you should first stop off at your local Kohen to discuss whether or not you have tzaras. Now again, the Achronim are all dealing with this question. I would have thought it's not a question because we just simply don't have tzaras. But the Achronim were very troubled by this question. Why are we not knowing tzaras? We'll see, you don't need a base of mikdash. It's knowing b'chutz la'aretz. So why do we not have to be choshesh that perhaps if you see something, that maybe it's saras? So the truth is, we could throw out the question from the start. I brought along the Shalos and Chuvos Beis David, Rav Zev Wolf Leiter, who was a Rav in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Big goon, big bucky in Svarim, brings really remarkable and interesting Marmakomos for a wide variety of Chuvos. So he has a Chuva. It's in Chelek Beis, Simen Samach Dalet. Chelek Beis actually starts in Simen Samach Dalet. It continues from Chelek Aleph, for 63 Chuvos. And he brings a variety of Marmakomos on this topic. And he says, perhaps you could throw out the whole question. He says, I found in the Medrash Lekach Tov, also known as the Psikta Zutrasa on Shemos, on the Pasuk Vihine Yado Mitzaras Keshelek. When Moshe Rabbeinu's hand was afflicted with tzaras, so we don't find that the Psukim go on to describe how Moshe was noeg the dinei tzaras at that time. Why not? Okay, so you'll say, well, it's before the Torah. There's a lot of reasons you can say, why not? But here's what the Medrash says. Lefi she'ein tuma lenega ela al pi kohen. You need to go to a Kohen. Well, Aaron's sort of a Kohen. He's on the way to becoming a Kohen. But then, right, Moshe himself at that point is considered a Kohen. Yeah? V'chein amr b'yochanan. But here's what the Medrash says. The Medrash Lekach Tov says, V'chein amr b'yochanan, mishachara beis hamikdash, ein tuma mimitzora. Okay? Maimer Chazal, a quote, direct quote from Rabbi Yochanan, that from the times of Chorban HaMikdash, there is nothing. Now again, this doesn't necessarily answer the Moshe question, but it gets us to our question of, why are we not knowing Tzaras Bezman Hazeh? So, according to this Shita, Rabbi Yochanan, in the Medrash, from the times the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, we are not knowing Tumas Tzaras. And he quotes a little bit later, also in the Medrash, in Parshas Tazria, V'hainu Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, Ein Tara Mimeis, Ve'ein Tuma Mimitzora. Let's read it carefully. Ein tara mi meis, doesn't, right? As he points out, there is still tumas meis, but there could be no tara mi meis, which is another shir for another time. Can we have a paraduma bismatizen? Okay, that's something people are discussing as of somewhat recent. But he points out here again, what does it say here? Ein tara mi meis, the ein tuma mi mitzora. Don't even get involved with this inyan of tzaras bezman hazeh. There's nothing to talk about. From the times of Chorban Beis HaMikdash, there's nothing to talk about. If we accept this medrash as being an authentic medrash, it's a later medrash from the period of the Gaonim. But if we accept it as an authentic medrash, and we want to file Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, which we may or may not want to, so then again, our question doesn't really get off the ground. Yeah?
The case seems to be in the case of Tahar Mis, so leaving aside Paraduma specifically, you need to at least bring the Paraduma Kineged the Mikdash, even though it's a Paramish, you have to bring Kineged the Mikdash. Oh. As you said before by Tzaras, it doesn't need
to. Good, so that's the question. Well. Meaning, so why would Rabbi Yochanan even have, meaning what's, meaning why what's is he suggesting that because of Chorban HaMikdash, there can't be, that's exactly the question the Achronim are all going to deal with. Okay? So let's take a look. One of the most interesting Mar Makomos, which really got me started on this topic, is a comment from the Tiferes Yisrael. The Tiferes Yisrael, in source number 12, wrote a psicha to Meseches Nagam called the Ma'ari Kohen. And in Os Lamites, in that psicha, he raised this question. He said he was very bothered by this question. Kol dine mitzorah v'negam v'taharas v'noeg bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz. B'fnei abayez u'bein shalo b'fnei abayez. He quotes the Tosefta. He quotes the Rambam, 11:6. Tuchos tumas saras. U'miyamay temesi, lama ein noeg in kein b'zman hazeh. The Tiferes Yisrael asked the question very straight. Why are we not, right? Why are we not knowing dine tzaras b'zman hazeh? So, this was a question he said that bothered me when I was a young man. What do you do if you have a shayla? Rabbi said, we all know what you do. You get stuck on a question, you go ask your Rebbe. And if your Rebbe doesn't know, you go ask the Gadol Hador. So look what he did. V'zacharti yal mikadam. Shebi al dusi, I brought this question lifnei Hagon Hagadol Moreinu Harav Akiva Zatzal. Who's he referring to? Hagon Hagadol, Rabbi Akiva Eger. The Rav of Poison. V'ashivani, and Rabbi Akiva Eger told me, Shigam hu tamal davar zeh. V'she'en lo teretamas kabbal al das. Rabbi Akiva Eger says, so if you're asking this question, I was also bothered by this very question. Why are we not knowing dine tzaras bezman hazeh? And Rabbi Akiva Eger said, I don't have an answer to this question. I do not have an approach that is satisfying to me. Now again, did they see people who had tzaras, that this was even a shayla? So that's the part that I'm still not 100% sure. Does this mean that any time you have some type of, again, any type of skin disease, it's a shayla to be discussed with your local kohen? I don't know. I'm not really sure what the metzias was. Did they see people with tzaras that this was such a question? But Rabbi Akiva Eger was very much bothered by this question. Why are we not knowing dine tzaras bezman hazeh? So I want to give you, in the few minutes that we have, a few different approaches to this question, spanning the Rishonim and the Achronim. Very, very interesting approaches. And again, this is all b'derech ha'ara, just some food for thought to help us better appreciate this coming week's parshios, which are not easy parshios. In the Raviyah, in his writings by Moed Katan, Simin Tav Tav Mem, He writes, as he finishes his laws of very relevant things, Hilchos Mitzora lo hiskakti lefarish. He says, I'm not going to bother giving you halacha lemaisa when it comes to the laws of Tzaras. Why? Dekevan dekoin lo chazilei v'lo bekiin lemechzei. He says, I don't know any Kohen who sees these things, and I don't even know a Kohen who's eligible and capable to paskin in these matters. We're not knowing, therefore, because Kohanim are not experts, we are not knowing in these dinim bizman azeh. However, marchikin mehem mipnei hasakana. Now let's just talk about that last line for a second, and then we'll come back to his main point. What does that mean, marchikin mehem mipnei hasakana? So, what the Rav Yehuda is telling us is that even though we're not going to go into the process of tumas hamitzora and taras hamitzora bizman azeh, if you see someone and you think that they have tzaras, or a person himself thinks that he has tzaras, it's kedai to stay away from that person because of the sakana. What sakana? So it's very fascinating. There's a whole discussion in Rishonim and Achronim, is tzaras contagious? Now you would tell me, contagious? If this is a spiritual disease like we saw from Avirish and the Kuzari and so many others, so what do you mean it's contagious? Well, how can it be contagious? But it could be, it's spiritually contagious. Meaning if you hang out with a person who's involved in Lashon Hara and Gilei Arayos and Gezel and Shua Shav and Shvichas Dam and Vechulu, so then that's an indication. You don't appreciate what the Torah says that he should be out of here, Badad Yeshev, kick him out of town. And therefore, your interaction with him could cause Tzaras to be contagious. Meshech Chochma writes in this week's Parsha, Tazria, that the reason that the Kohen is the one who oversees the Tumah and Tahara process is because a Kohen, by definition, is a more spiritually lofty person, usually, and he has a certain Hashkacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he can be osik in these things without getting sick. But the Baal Turim Parshas Baal Oscha, there's a Rashi in Malachim Beis that discusses this. Perhaps Tzaras is contagious and something that we need to watch out for. But as far as our question, why are we not knowing Tzaras Bizman Azeh? What's the Rav Yoz answer? The first approach that we'll present today, and it's very simple, that we're not Bakiyim in it. We don't know how to do this process. We've just simply lost the Torah knowledge, unfortunately, tragically, in order to be Osig in this mitzvah. Perhaps the Sefer HaChinuch is being meramis to this as well. If you look in Source 14, the Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Kufayin Gimel, V'noheges tahara zu b'chol makum u'v'chol zman sheyesh kohen chacham b'negam. It's not limited to a Beis HaMikdash. It's not limited to Eretz Yisrael. But you need to have a Kohen who's what? Chacham b'negam. He has to have the Torah knowledge to enable him to oversee this process. And therefore, we don't have Kohanim who are experts. So you'll tell me, hold on a second. I learned a little Maseches Negah. You don't need a Kohen who's an expert. Why can't I just go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky? Why would I go to Rav Chaim Kanievsky? Because as long as someone's an expert, we should be able to keep the process alive. The Mishnah Negam says, in the third parak, in Source 15, HaKol K'sherim Liros Esanagam, El Asher Tumah V'Atara Bidei Kohen. Anyone is eligible to see the Negam, but the declaration of Tumah V'Atara is only by a Kohen. Omrim Lo, right, we say to the Kohen, say Tameh, V'hu Amar Tameh. Say Tar, and he says Tar. What's going on here? What's this Mishnah telling us? The Gemara in Erech HaNadav Gimel explains when it goes through all of the hakols and shas, hakol la'asuye mai, asks the Gemara, la'asuye she'eno baki behenu v'shmeo sayen. A Kohen who's a non-expert can actually oversee the Tumah and Tahara of the Tzaras process. How could that be? Va'omar mar, eino baki behenu v'shmeo sayen, eino roas ha'negayim. I thought we demand expertise in order to be osek in this parsha called Negayim. Amravina lokasha, had the misery leva savar, had the misery leva lo savar. It depends if he understands. Meaning what? You get a Kohen who's unfortunately not trained in Tzaras, and you take him to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and you take this person who's got this funny thing growing on the back of his neck, and Rav Chaim Kanievsky, who we'll assume has the knowledge for the moment, we'll assume he has that knowledge. So he looks it over and he explains to the Kohen. He explains to him what's going on here. And this Kohen, who himself is Eino Baki, understands what's happening here. And then the Kohen has the ability, seemingly, based on the mission of the Gom, to declare Tameh or Tar. So as long as you have someone in the world who's an expert, seemingly we can keep the process alive. But even to have one expert is not Pasha. And that's really what's happening here. To even have a single expert, to think that we have anyone in the world today who has maintained the Mesorah, the tradition of the various colors, open up the Mishnayos and the Gom in the first parak. It's unbelievable. Parak Aleph Mishnah Dal, Akavya ben Mahalal says there are 72 different colors and different shades. It's come out impossible for us, right, without a clear Mesorah in these things, to figure that all out. That even the Gedolei Ador, without any disregard or disrespect for them, don't have the knowledge that would be required today. Rav Nassim Gestetner, one of the great Gedolim of our times, passed away only a few years ago. The Baal Lahoros Nasa, many volumes of Shalos and Chuvos, Svarim and Chumash, Pirkei Avos, many Mesechtos of Shas. They're putting out more and more. They put out a Haggadah this year from the Lahoros Nasa. So he says, I don't understand this question that the Achronim are asking. Tzeras bezman hazeh, who's going to oversee the process? He says, in my simplicity, in my humility, lo evanti mashen eskashu ga'olim zal bezeh. During Mavur b'shashruos, the Gemara is very clear. Kol kohen chenu baki behenu v'shmo seyen, eino roas en agar. Now there's a discussion. Do you need to know everything in order to paskin at all? Like, let's say you're a Bakim Baharis, yeah? You know exactly what Baharis. You've seen snow, white like snow, so I know what that looks like. So if I'm a Baki in Baharis, but I'm not a Baki in the Sapachas of Baharis, and I don't know Seis, and I don't know all of the various things, but I have like my one area of expertise, is that enough? The Pashas is not the way. The Pashas is, you have to know everything if you want to be involved in paskining anything. So therefore, Rav Nosson Geshetner says, this is a very simple reason why to throw out the whole discussion. He says, we simply don't have the knowledge. He writes about five or six lines from the bottom. The Chochma Nifla Lahavchin Bein Ayin Beis Gavonim, these 72 different shades and colors. The Eafshar Ledaita El Ayedei Kabbalah Ishmi Pi Ishmi Mekablei HaTorah Bizman Hazeh. Unfortunately, the tradition has been broken. This is what the Tiferes Yaakov also writes in his commentary on, it's printed in the standard Mishnayos, in the Yochan Boaz Mishnayos, in Maseches Negah. Yes?
It seems strange that lack of knowledge for something is going to lead to a kula. Like, we find a lot of times, Mishnah Kuz Mida, so maker did only five shades on the Kameh.
Oh, so we'll talk about that, right? So why not Misafek? Get involved to whatever degree we can. We'll come back to that question. It's a good question. Right, why should it be that all of a sudden, Tzaraas, which should be Noeg, Shalom Bifnei Abayis, and should be Noeg in Chutz Laretz, because of our Amaratis, all of a sudden this mitzvah disappears off the charts? Right, maybe we should be Noeg on some level. Okay, so we will come back to that. I want to just point out one very, very fascinating thing that I saw in a sefer called Chanukah Shlomo, and he points out the following. Very interesting. He says, you know why we're not Bekiyim in it today? What don't we know anymore? Why can't we know everything there is to know about Tzaraas? Why can't we learn up this sugya? Learn the Mishnayos, figure out the colors. He says, because one of the colors was described as what? It's white kesid ha-heichal, like the plaster on the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. So maybe that's why Rabbi Yochanan said in the Medrash, in the Lakach Tov, that what? That we can't be knowing Tzaraas Bezman HaZeh from the time of Korban HaMikdash, because we can't go and look at the sid ha-heichal, we can't look at the plaster of the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, to find out what it looks like. Very fascinating and unusual answer. Why don't we know what plaster looks like? Why can't we figure out how they made plaster? Why does the Mishnah even say Sid HaHecha? Why doesn't the Mishnah say plaster? Is that mashma that there was dafka, some type of plaster that they used by the Heichal? The Tiferes Yisrael in the Mishnayos thinks the reason it mentions the Heichal is because the Mishnah in Mido says that every year they used to re-plaster the walls of the Heichal. So the Sid HaHecha just means fresh plaster. That's all it means. But again, there's a whole discussion. You look at Rabbeinu Chananel and Shabbos Peyam and Beis. There's a tshuva from the Hazoris tshuva in Chelak Aleph. Was the sid that they used once upon a time clumpier compared to the more liquidy type of plaster that we use today? Okay, so it could be that's the missing piece. We could get all the knowledge, but from the times of Chorban Beis HaMikdash, we're missing that one bit of information. We simply don't know what the plaster of the Heichal looked like. The Or Sameach, in source 18, says there could be something else we don't know. Let's say we do know all 72 shades of Tzaraas, and we know all the things that you know that are necessary to declare the Tumah aspect of Tzaraas. But what do we need for the Tar aspect of Tzaraas? Well, we need Eitz Erez. We know what cedar wood looks like. We know what Azov, Hyssop is. I mean, I don't know what Hyssop is, but right, I'm sure we can find out what Hyssop is. Yeah, but what don't we know? Shni Solas, the red thread, that crimson thread. How do you make the crimson thread? So, well, look in the Rambam. Raman Hilchos Paraduma talks about what exactly Shni Solas looks like, and many others, the Rash and Meseches Kalim in the 26th parak discuss it, Rashi and Yeshaya discusses it, but are we confident that we know the recipe? Are we confident? Maybe we lost the Mesorah on how to prepare the Shni Solas. So the Or Sameach on the Rambam writes, two lines from the end, V'yitachin d'nishtakach me'itanu marish al Shni Solas. The same way that we don't know about Tcheles and Chilazon. Okay, controversial statement there. I'll leave that to you to decide what to do with it. So maybe we can restore Shni Solas. Maybe we should get people working on this. Again, we have recipes found in the Rishonim. Okay, so this could be one of the sources that stops us from being able to be osek in these things. We simply don't have the bekiyas, the knowledge, in order to be osek in these things. What Rav Nosson Geshetner alluded to is sort of a related but second approach, which is that even if we had, let's say we believe that Rav Chaim Kanievsky and his billions could figure it all out, and he could master everything there is to know about it. But did he hear it from his Rebbe? Do you need a Masorah when it comes to Saras? The Pashtus is perhaps yes. The Pasuk says, in source 19 of Mitzora, Lahoros bayom atame uveyom atar, Zos Toras Hatzeras. Says the Medrash, Sefra, Toras Kohanim, Chananya ben Chachinai Omer, V'lama ba lehoros. Why does the Pasuk say lehoros? Melamed she'eno roa esenagam ad shiorenu rabo. If you don't have a Rebbe, so that means if at any point in Jewish history, the chain, the transmission of what it takes to be osek in these inyanim of Tumah and Taras and Metzora has been broken, so it seems that according to this Maimer Chazal, right, Medrash Halacha, Toras Kohanim, it would be impossible to restore the tradition. Okay. A third approach, which is very fascinating, and it has many other areas that are relevant to other halachos today, real halachos l'maisa things, is the question of Kohanim Miuchasim. Do we believe that someone who claims to be a Kohen, right? We have some Kohanim in the room. Who's a Kohen in the room besides Shua and there's a Kohen? Anyone else? Okay? So do we believe that someone's a Kohen if he claims to be a Kohen? We might give him an Aliyah and Shul, but is that going to be sufficient? Would we trust that someone who claims to be a Kohen is in fact a Kohen? The Radbaz, I think, is the first one to bring this idea in Source 21. The Radbaz, alongside the Rambam, Hilchos Trumos, that perhaps the problem of Saras Bizman Azeh is simply because we don't trust our Kohan. But that brings us back to Asher's question. So let's work with what we have. I'm willing to work with Shua when it comes to Birchus Kohanim. I'm willing to work with him when it comes to getting an Aliyah. I'm willing to give him other aspects of honor that a Kohen is entitled to. So why aren't we knowing whatever we can, try it to the best of our ability? Why can't we just work with him and try to get involved with Tzras? So there's a very obvious problem. What's the obvious problem? The problem is, so what's going to happen? So Shua's going to make someone Tame? Yeah? So first of all, you're going to send him out of the Machana. So what does it mean to send someone out of the Machana? Okay, that might be something we need to figure out. But more than that, what's going to happen when it comes to the Tara process? The Tara process means that the Kohen goes and he shaves all of the hair on the body of the person who is afflicted with Saras. Now, what gives him the right to remove the person's beard? What gives him the right to remove his payas? Asei dochalos asei. Asei dochalos asei. The asei of Taras and Metzora overrides the various los aseis, removing hair on various parts of the body. But I'm not going to do that. Misafik. I'm not going to let Shua get involved in a process that he can't really bring, first of all, to its conclusion because of the other problems you presented. Misafik, right? There's a very serious concern here. So therefore, we can't just use our Kohane Chazaka and go Lechomer and say, let's do what we can. Let's at least make an Isser Tashmish on this guy. Let's begin the process. He's going to get stuck. And that's also, again, a kind of a global approach to this whole issue. If we can't get him into Tzaras and get him out of Tzaras, we probably shouldn't get involved with this. Right? Meaning, if we don't have the mecha, if any step along the way is not going to work, to get someone to be metame someone with Saras, then to leave him stuck that way, not having the mechanism to get him out of it, is no big kachma. Now again, we have to ask ourselves, why? If that's the halacha, if the kohen, do we see that the tumah and the tara are ma'akiv zeh? There are aspects of the tara that are ma'akiv, other aspects of the tara. But should we say we shouldn't make someone tumah if we can't make him tar? Something to think about. But again, this might be an answer to why we wouldn't want to get started with a kohen who's only a kohen mechazaka and not a kohen vaday. This is actually the answer that the Tiferes Yisrael himself came up with. He said, when I got a little older, remember when he was young, he asked Rabbi Akiva Eger this question. When he got older, he said, I thought of this answer. Perhaps that's the reason we can't get started. Maybe it's a concern that the kohen's going to not be able to shave his body. What about when it comes to the other aspects? What about nigei begadim, nigei batim? So again, you'll say, we never see these things. But let's imagine we did. All of a sudden, you get a strange stain on your shirt. So maybe you didn't just drop a meatball on your shirt. Maybe you have tzaras. Bring it to a kohen. Right? So again, says the Tiferes Yisrael, the kohen is only a kohen misafik. Right? And you have a chezkas mamon on your shirt. So I'm not going to let this kohen take away my shirt to burn my shirt or to dismantle my house. That's what the Tiferes Yisrael writes in Source 23. If Nesan Geshetner throws the whole thing out, it's ridiculous. When do we say that my Cheskas Mamon is not going to allow this Kohen Misafik to take it away? If what? If he's taking it for himself. He's not taking it for himself. He's telling you, Misafik L'chumra, you might have Saras. That would be the equivalent of saying, I have a Chazakah on this Safik Chametz, and therefore what? Therefore I don't have to deal with it? Safik Derais L'chumra. He's not taking it for himself. So Rav Nesan Geshtadner in that essay in Lahoris Nasan and Tazria thinks that this answer of this Cheskas Mamon is not the approach. But again, he thinks the approach is because we're not Bakiyim, and that would be sufficient. And there are other subcategories, again, of the Kohen question. Maybe a question of Bigdei Kahuna, which, again, you have to work on that a little bit. Maybe there's Dafka Din of Zera Aaron, which requires a certain Vados, and we wouldn't be able to work with anyone. Maybe something the Rugachover has such an idea. the Shailas and Tshuvas Yad Chanoch, which I brought along for another time, discusses that possibility. Maybe there's a din of Kohen Vadai specifically by Saras. Okay, I want to just end by talking about one interesting thing, and that is in the Shulchan Aruch, in Source 24, the Shulchan Aruch actually brings the halacha. Menudo mitzora asurim laniach tefillin. A person who has Saras cannot put on tefillin. So is this an indication, the fact that the Mechaber records that a person with Saras should not put on tefillin, is this an indication that perhaps what? That Saras should be noig b'zman hazeh? Sunday morning, I ran into Rav Shechter in the photocopy room upstairs, and I had the chutzpah to hakam about basically everything we said in the shiur so far, and when I told him, I said, Rebbe, the Shulchan Aruch says that a mitzvah is not allowed to wear tefillin b'zman hazeh. Is that something to be medayik from? And Rav Shechter, I got the best laugh out of him. Out of all the things I was hakam, this one, he's, So what are you talking about? I said, so Rebbe, you're saying it's just being brought, derech agav, the lashon of the Gemara Moed, katan daf tesvav, menudu mitzvah, and the Shulchan Aruch is just bringing it, you know, by way of giving us the full statement from the Gemara Moed. He says, there's no diuk to be made here. But the Achronim talk about it. Should we be ma'ayin into this lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, mitzvah, surim laniach tefillin? There's a sefer from Rav Chaim Al-Ghazi, in his writings on the Torah, in Source 26, and he says, I have no idea why the Baal Mechaber, right, bothered to bring this halacha, he's discussing this halacha of Tzaras, if it's totally not knowing Bezman Hazeh. Why are the Torah, why is the Beis Yosef, why are some of the Gedolei HaPoskim even touching on this issue? So I want to conclude in answer to that question with Dvar Musar, which I think is very important for us to think about. In the Shalos and Shuvos, Mishnah Halachos, or Menashe Klein, who passed away only a couple of years ago, the Ungvar Rav, many, many volumes of Shalos and Shuvos, a big Chashav HaPosek, Chassidish Rebbe. So he has a discussion of this, Mitzora Asur Laniach Tefillin, in the 11th volume of the Shailos and Tshuvos. And he says, when I was learning the Tiferes Yisrael, and I came across this comment, I wrote on the side, look at the Svarno. I made a note to myself, look at the Svarno that we saw earlier. What did the Svarno say? The Svarno said that we're not worthy, we're not on a Madrega to be Zocha, to receive Tzaras Bezman Hazeh. So based on this, Rav Menashe Klein says a beautiful thing. He says, you know why the Shulchan Aruch is writing that a mitzora is asur laniach tefillin? It's not that, in theory, we can't have tzaras b'zman hazeh. Our spiritual level has caused it to be a mitzias that we don't get tzaras because we're not on a madrega. But if we would be better Jews, it would be very relevant. There's no ma'akiv. Now again, we said, maybe we're not bekiyah, maybe we don't have kohanim. We can think of a lot of reasons why there are other ikuvim. But the Shulchan Aruch is giving us a hope that maybe we can get to the madrega that we're roi for tzaras. That we're on a high enough madrega that there could be an iser to put on tefillin because we have tzaras, even bezman hazeh. There's nothing inherently bezman hazeh that's stopping us from having tzaras. And that's something that we need to think about. And I'll end with just the words of the Medrash, that the Chofetz Chaim and the Shmiras HaLashon and the Shara Zechira and Perek Vav emphasizes something for us again, b'derech Musar to think about. The Yalkut Shimoni in Mishlei says, Amr B'yanai, Av Shlomo Machiz V'Omer Shomer Pivu L'Shono Shomer Mitzaras Nafsho. Pasuk says, a person who guards his tongue will be saved from what? From the Tzaras Nafsho, from the afflictions of the soul. Says the Medrash, Shomer Mitzaras Nafsho. And the Chofetz Chaim says, just because you don't see your Tzaras B'Zman Hazeh does not mean that we're not knowing Tzaras B'Zman Hazeh. When the Mechaber writes that a Mitzora can't wear tefillin, in a chanami, you don't actually know that you're getting Tzaras. But there's Tzaras Nafsho as well. Which means that a Baal Lashon Hara today is still, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, on the inside is mamish rotting with all sorts of spiritual Tzaras. Again, a Kadosh Baruch Hu deems us unworthy of seeing it. Chalashon the Chofetz Chaim is not Boleit Lachutz. But that doesn't mean that Tzaras is not knowing Bezman Hazeh. So Mirtz Hashem, in the schuss of learning about a topic, which is, again, something discussed by many, many Achronim, Tshuva Sheos Yaivet, so many more interesting sources on this topic, but something that, again, is not actively halacha l'maisa today, but Mirtz Hashem, in the merit of learning about it, we'll mechazik ourselves not to be osek in any of the averos which cause Tzaras, neither Tzaras of the Guf or Tzaras HaNefesh, and Mirtz Hashem, through that, we'll lift ourselves up and be Zocha, we'll be on a Madrega. That we would be the types of Jews who, Chas Hashem, would be worthy of receiving Saras because of Kadosh Baruch Hu's very close connection to us. Shkoyach.